John chapter 10, 11 through 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Pray with me. Gracious Father, this is your holy word. Reveal to us this morning, Lord, what you want us to know. And we thank you. We thank you for your word, for your scripture, through which we can know you, Lord. Know what you have done for us, and know what we ought to do in response. Be with us this morning. Edify your people. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Hello, Westkirk. I have to say, it is strange standing here, looking across an empty sanctuary, across the room into a camera, as I talk with you this morning. As Michael indicated last week, we miss you all. I wish that I could see your faces this morning, worship with you in person, shake your hand. However, I am thankful to God for the gift of technology and being able to record this, so you who are listening will hopefully be edified. Being able to be behind the scenes a little bit, it is amazing what our stream team has been able to do, and there's a lot that goes into it, so I am thankful for them as well. Without doubt, this is a crazy time. It is a crazy time. It's a hard time. I, for one, am hopeful that the coronavirus will be a thing of the past sooner than later, but for now, we deal with it. It seems clear to me as I was thinking about this that whenever a new virus comes out, we are faced very clearly with our own mortality. Sickness and death suddenly become just a little more real. Now, it doesn't appear to me, anyway, that we at Westkirk need reminding of that, though, as the beginning of this year, the end of last, has been difficult for us. We've had a lot of sicknesses, a lot of deaths, and it's been tough. So I think this passage today, John chapter 10, 11 through 14, is the perfect passage to be meditating on and studying this morning. And I'm confident that it's going to edify you all. I know it did me as I studied and prepared for the sermon. As we've been going through the seven I am statements of Jesus in John's gospel, we come to one that we are probably most familiar with. Jesus tells us here, I am the good shepherd. Now, the shepherd motif or theme is something we're probably really familiar with. The Bible from front to finish is full of the idea of shepherds as well as actual shepherds themselves. Adam was a shepherd of sorts. Most of the patriarchs were shepherds. David, the greatest king in the Old Testament, was at first a shepherd. One of the most beloved psalms of all time, Psalm 23, invokes shepherd imagery. The prophetic books, both major and minor, are full of shepherd allusions and metaphors. Jesus' first birth was announced to shepherds, and Jesus himself is using shepherd language here in this passage. So we're familiar with it. We are familiar with the shepherd theme. We have probably heard on numerous occasions that Jesus is our shepherd. Read about it, heard others preach about it, sing about it. My goal here then today is to take a look at exactly what it means for Jesus to be our good shepherd. Or maybe better put, how? How is Jesus our good shepherd? What makes him our good shepherd? Furthermore, our understanding of Jesus as our shepherd should incite within us a response. And I think this is important. It's something we must not forget, that we have to remember that when Jesus tells us something about himself, there should be a proper response on our part to the truth he has imparted. The whole word, the whole scripture is God telling us stuff about himself, and we should respond. It's not just head knowledge, it's a heart reaction. So this passage today, I think, has made it pretty clear on what Jesus tells us and what response we should have. Jesus is our good shepherd. Therefore, we must follow him. We must follow him. As I said earlier, I think this passage shows us three key areas that we can focus on regarding how Jesus is our good shepherd. And those three things are these, and in case you're at home taking notes, now would be a good time. Jesus, our good shepherd, lays his life down for us. Jesus, our good shepherd, will not forsake us. And Jesus, our good shepherd, knows us. Our response to this should be one of devotion and of continual following. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It reads, "When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus entered his ministry at a time when there was a terrible lack of spiritual leadership for the Jews. Michael talked last week about how the thieves and the robbers that entered through the gate is representative of false teachers, and Israel was full of them. As I mentioned previously, the latter part of the Old Testament, specifically the major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, for example, is full of God's indictment against Israel, yes, but there are also very, very harsh judgments against the religious leaders of Israel for feeding on the sheep rather than leading them. Jeremiah writes, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered the flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." And this passage tells us two things. Explicitly, it tells us that Israel had bad shepherds who had not cared for the people and that God would visit them in wrath. Now, this is a truly terrifying thing and statement, and a lot can be said on this regarding the responsibility of church leadership and leaders, but that's not what I want to focus on today. Implicitly, this passage, as well as numerous other ones throughout the Bible, shows us that God's people, we, need a shepherd. There would not be such a harsh indictment against false shepherds if God's people didn't need them. God has given the responsibility of shepherds to pastors and elders in the church, but ultimately, we need a perfect shepherd. So Isaiah goes on to write, "Then I will gather up the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply." And this is exactly what Jesus came to do. And here in John 10, he is pointing to the fact that he is fulfilling the promise that God made to his people in passages such as this one. How exactly is he doing this, or how exactly has he done this? That brings us to our first point. Jesus, our good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. Sheep need protecting. They need saving. They're pretty much helpless without a shepherd. When you actually think about it, it's not the biggest boost of self-esteem when you realize that Scripture constantly compares God's people to sheep. My little boy, SJ, is about 3 years old. He likes to pretend he's an animal a lot of the times. And he usually wants to be a tiger or a bear, or sometimes a monkey, which honestly isn't too far off, I suppose. But he never wants to be a sheep. I don't think I've ever seen a kid playing animal make-believe want to pretend that they're a sheep. I know I never did when I was young. And there's a reason for that. Now, I don't believe we have a lot of farmers here at Westkirk, but perhaps some of you have worked with sheep before. I have not. My closest exposure I've had to sheep come from the Iowa State Fair. Amy and I love to go to the fair and visit the animal barns. But every time we get to the sheep pen, it reminds me of just how completely helpless they are. They're crying all the time. They're trying to jump out of their pen to what would be their certain doom. They seem to struggle against everything their owner is trying to do that would be good for them. But do you know what else I see there? I see the people who are taking care of the sheep, patiently tending to them amidst their constant complaining, feeding them, being close to them, grooming them, and so on and so on. One could say they're being good shepherds. Westkirk, Christian, as hard as it may be to swallow, we are those sheep, completely helpless in a world without a shepherd. Now, this flies in the face of everything modern society tells us, right? We are told that we can conquer anything, accomplish anything, achieve anything purely by our own intellect and power of will. And yet, things are always arising, such as the coronavirus, that shows us how vulnerable we really are. But our issue goes way deeper than just physical vulnerability. Without Christ, spiritually, we're dead. We're like sheep wandering the countryside without a shepherd, hopelessly lost without any chance of saving ourselves. Christ's people need a shepherd, because without one, there is no salvation. This is what Jesus came to do, and this is what he did. This is why we observe Lent season leading up to Easter. Jesus tells us that he is the good shepherd, and I will lay my life down for my sheep. Hopeless, lost, depraved little sheep, all humans are, wandering the fields of life with no real purpose until a shepherd lays down his life for them and brings them into his fold. What an act of love. Jesus, the good shepherd, is the fulfillment of the Davidic promise of a shepherd king, one who will save his people and lead them. Yes, we are scattered today, physically, but we are also unified by the one who laid down his life for the forgiveness of our sins. Ezekiel 34:11, this is a passage that comes up often in our worship here at Westkirk. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. The triune God has rescued us. What else can we do but follow him with hope and faith? What else can we do but to love him and strive with all of our might to follow him as he would have us? Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, laid his life down for his sheep, and he brought us into his fold. But his work is not over. See, Christ continues to shepherd us. Jesus, our good shepherd, will not forsake us. Read again our passage. Jesus says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am not like the hired hand. I do not run when I see trouble. I do not run when I see danger. I do not leave my sheep helpless. The fact that Jesus went to such lengths to rescue his sheep, the fact that he laid his life down for his sheep, even further encourages us that our good shepherd will not forsake us. Again, we have this image throughout Scripture of how a good shepherd acts. We think of David, who did not forsake his sheep to the mouth of the lion or the mouth of the bear, but rescued them from danger. A good shepherd does not forsake his sheep in times of turmoil or danger. Listen to these words. Beautiful passage in Isaiah 40:11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. The imagery here in Isaiah is full of gentleness. Did you see that? He will tend to his flock. He will gather the lamb in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead those that are with young, the vulnerable. What a comfort for us to know that this directly applies to how Christ cares for his people. And we long for that, do we not? In a world that is always changing, Christ is our constant. Money is fleeting and materialistic fads come and go. People are here and then they're not. Those sheep outside of the fold will hold on to anything they can, and yet they find no constant. But our story is different. Our shepherd is here, always near us. He carries us in his bosom when we are weak and struggling. He leads us when we are lost and confused, and he loves us when we feel loveless. What a comfort this is, and yet, how often do we forget it? It's actually astounding, I think, at how often we forget this. In fact, the great irony is that we so often strive to hold on and to rely on the things that are not constant in our life, things that are fleeting. When the coronavirus causes economic problems, we run to our 401ks and our Roths and check our balance. We have to make sure that our financial state is secure. Often when we are faced with a struggle or a problem, we talk to almost every person we know before going to the Lord in prayer. We often look first to our money, our friends, our family, or even our own skill to get us out of problems or when we need comforting. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not saying that it's wrong to use the resources that God has given us or to be wise stewards of those resources. God has blessed us with so many things, and it is good and wise for us to use those blessings and to praise him for those blessings. But why is it so often that it's those things we turn to first when a problem or crisis arises, rather than to our good shepherd? Because our good shepherd, he is the constant. He is the one watching over us day and night. He talks to us through his word and invites us to approach his throne boldly so we have access to him. We can commune with him. I think we probably could all do a better job in diligently following our good shepherd. We could all do a better job in trusting him and relying on him to care for us rather than those things in our life that are fleeting, that are not constant. This shepherd, unlike the hired hand, will never flee when things get bad. Beyond that reason I've just given above, though, Jesus will not forsake his sheep because, unlike the hired hand, he knows them. He knows them. Yes, Jesus, our good shepherd, knows his sheep. Jesus says, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. I know my own, and my own know me. Have you ever known someone, the type of person who, when you sit down to have a conversation with them, they start asking you about yourself? How have you been? How's life? What's new? What's going well? What's not going well? What are your struggles? What are your joys? And when you give them the answer, they delve a little deeper. They ask more questions, but they're genuine questions. And the person asking them is genuinely interested. Within their questions and their responses and their nonverbal cues, you get the sense that this person actually really wants to know you. It's not just small talk and pleasantries. It's a real effort on that person's part to get to know the real you. How does that make you feel? I'm sure that sometimes, depending on the situation and circumstances, it can be a little intimidating. But I think for most of us, for most of the time, it feels good. We feel cared for, loved even. The reason being is that in most cases, we want to be known. We have to understand that there is a relational aspect of the triune God. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have a relationship that is full of knowledge and love for each person within the Godhead. And we are made in the image of God. So we too are relational creatures. We long to be loved, and we long to be known, and we long to know. And sin muddies that up, though, so that we can never know anyone perfectly, and they can never know us perfectly. But our relationship with God is different. It's different. It's radically different. Because Jesus, your good shepherd, knows you. He knows your deepest yearning and aching, and he knows your most joyful and happy thoughts and emotions. He knows you. Now, this word here, know, denotes more than just knowledge about oneself. It represents a love relationship. God often spoke to Israel by saying that he knew them in comparison with other nations. Amos 3:2, for example, God says, "You only have I known above all the families of the earth." Now, God surely knew about the other families and nations of the earth. He knew of them. He knew them. But rather, in this statement, he's pointing out his unique love relationship with Israel. And this term that Jesus uses here is similar. He knows you. But he knows you with a deep and profound love and belonging. The hired hand doesn't know the sheep. He doesn't have a relationship with them, so he flees at the sign of trouble, but not our good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He has a relationship with his sheep. And it's a deep, covenantal relationship, full of sacrificial love. Now, I understand that I have just said that we all long to be known, but I also think that I could say that most of us, even though we long to be known, sometimes struggle with letting others know us, right? It seems like a lot of us are scared of people knowing the real us, because then they will see all the ugly. We're afraid that if people knew who we really are, they would run the other direction, and we might not even blame them for that. But here in this passage, we are told that Jesus knows us. He knows us better than anyone else. He knows us better than ourselves. He knows every ugly part of us, every sinful thought, every shameful secret. And yet, the one who knows us the most is the very one that we can have the most confident will never forsake us. That's the gospel. That's radical, crazy, unbelievable love and commitment. Our sins, our mistakes, our anxieties, our failures will never be enough to push our shepherd away. He knew you before he brought you into his fold, and he knows who you are now. Jesus Christ does not ever abandon his sheep. He never abandons his people. But that's not all. This shepherd who loves us so much tells us that we, his people, we, his sheep, know him. Knowing Christ, that is the definition of joy. Knowing Christ, knowing our good shepherd. We often hear that We love Christ because he first loves us, and that's so true. It's also true that we know Christ because he first knew us and revealed himself to us. The God of the universe, the Good Shepherd. What a blessing this is. In a proper response to this knowing of him, this blessing of knowing him should be one of unfailing commitment and unwavering resolve to follow him and love him. So let's strive to do that. Let's strive with every inch in our being. As Paul said, let us beat our bodies every day as we discipline ourselves to know this shepherd more and more, this good shepherd that loves us. Westkirk Christian, we have a good shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ. He laid his life down for us. He knows us, and he will never, ever forsake us. Amidst the worry, amidst the anxiety, amidst the pain that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, dwell on this. Dwell on Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, our good shepherd, we thank you for loving us, for leading us, for knowing us. We thank you for being our good shepherd. Lord, let us not grow callous to this truth. Let us dwell on it and let it light within us a fire, one of response to your word, one of response to your love, one of response to what you have accomplished and done for us and are doing for us on a day-to-day basis, every day. We thank you for who you are, God, our good shepherd. Amen.
His own hand, he leadeth me. faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. For by his hand he leadeth me.
I could think of no better benediction for today's passage than Hebrews 13:20. People of God, receive this benediction. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
What's that?
It'll probably be all new ones for next week, but whatever I'm having you play on, at least one will be something that you've done before. Okay. I'll play you some of this.
I have.